friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hempresent. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hempresent, email me at hempresent@gmail.com. Sean Pernitsky draws from a broad spectrum of experience from residential and commercial construction to his technical training and his experience as an instrumentation technician. Sean grew up immersed in the legacy cannabis world. The Slocan Valley, nestled in the heart of the Kootenays Valley, was a hotspot for black market craft BC bud. And as Sean grew up, he began gaining more exposure to friends and friends' parents who grew. He started to become more aware of the processes and how things worked within the industry, including growing methodology, growing systems, and growing equipment. In 2016, Sean began research and development for what would become EcoGrowTech, the mission of bringing together a culture of quality control, consistency, and the convergence of commercial and craft cannabis production. Large on the outside and craft on the inside, aligns with Sean's personal values and the overall core values of EcoGrowTech, and he's here to tell us more. Welcome, Sean, to Hempresent on Cannabis Radio.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me, Vivian, and thanks for the great introduction there.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Let's just start off with the basics for people like myself who are not all that smart about this stuff. An LED lamp or LED light bulb is an electric light that produces light using light-emitting diodes. What does that mean? What are light-emitting diodes, and how is that different from a conventional lighting system?
Yeah, in simplest terms, to answer that, a light-emitting diode is basically a small semiconductor device that emits light when electric current is passed through it. And this light is produced when the particles that carry the current, known as electron and holes, combine together within that material, and then that is what is creating the luminosity. Basically, LEDs are just tiny little light bulbs that fit easily into an electrical circuit, or what a lot of people call a quantum board or an array. Unlike incandescent bulbs, they don't have those filaments, though, so they're not prone to burning out, and they don't have that short lifespan because of those filaments. And in turn, they use a lot less electricity, and they don't get very hot. So they're quite efficient in terms of their different differential and heat output, and also energy efficiency, so power drawn at the wall.
Is that similar to a fiber optic filament, or is that something different?
A little bit different. It's just there's the semiconductor has a phosphor coating, and a lot of what is happening when you see a different spectrum is there's a different phosphor coating on that light-emitting diode. So then as those electrical currents pass through it, and the different phosphorus coating would then emit a bit of a different spectrum, so you get a different hue. And in the HID, it's more of a gas. So you've got this bulb that has a filament and then a gas, which actually contains a lot of toxins. A lot of people don't know that there's mercury, lead, and tungsten, some of those other metals in there.
Right. So fascinating. So that's why LEDs can change, you know, have that broad spectrum of colors. I see a lot of LED lighting systems, you know, just switching through the spectrum of colors.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to isolate those certain bandwidths of color.
Interesting.
Spectrum bandwidth on the McCree curve. So you're able to actually pull out those specific wavelengths and then perform certain functions too. So for cannabis in particular, it's kind of a little bit new. A lot of other crops they've been able to do spectrum research on, but cannabis, because of its federal legalization, being it federally illegal, it was hard to universities or accredited research facilities to do any type of research on it.
Right. Many grow operations use high-pressure sodium lights, at least traditionally, which, according to your website, are one of the most earth-damaging lighting systems on the planet. How are HSP lights damaging our biosphere?
First, it's an old technology, so the high demand for power generation is a huge, huge negative. So a lot of places where we are, Fortis BC, who is our electrical provider, they're actually offering massive rebates to help people choose a higher efficiency product. In my opinion, the technology is now far surpassed where HPS technology is, and it's almost a a no-brainer to switch out. When I first started studying the technology, the efficacy of the lights were not very high, so there was a lot of really inefficient lights on the market. And still to this day, there's still, you have to be very careful when selecting an LED light, because if it doesn't have a high efficacy or the proper components, it still won't work. So you got to be, you know, people need to be very cognizant of that.
So the high pressure sodium, basically it's the carbon footprint, right? The amount of energy that they draw, that's the issue?
Yeah, that's the root issue. And then of course the toxins as well. I said a little bit earlier, the mercury and tungsten, and a lot of people are not disposing of the bulbs properly, so they'll end up in the dumpster or the landfill, and then it's contaminating the water table and then entering the environment. So it is really those two are the major factors, the misuse, like people not disposing them properly, and then also the inefficiencies.
How important is the lower operating temperature of LED lights? Why is a lower temperature an important factor?
This is one of my favorite things, actually, especially getting in with people that are just in construction phase of their facility, because you don't need to build for nearly as much cooling capacity. So the construction costs are then reduced, which that money can then go towards paying for a lighting package. And really, then it's the savings just begin once the lighting package is installed in comparison to high pressure sodium. We're able to, now with the efficacy of our products, we're able to generate the same amount of photon energy and usable light for plants by generating about 45% less heat. So we're 2,000, approximately 2,000 BTUs of cooling requirement per fixture, when HPS, a lot of people are prepping for double, if not more.
So I guess the difference is they don't need to have as sophisticated cooling and airflow systems, stuff like that. Is that the benefit?
Yeah, they don't need to add as many. So if they're using like a 5-ton cooling unit, a 5-ton air conditioner, they only need to have 10 rather than 20, depending on the size of the facility. So it's a reduction of your HVAC build cost by nearly 50%.
Wow.
So when people are in the construction phase, if they think, prep for LED rather than prepping for HPOS, then that's a little joke, insider joke, the hot pieces of shit. I don't know, pardon my French there, but the HPOS, where that comes from. The root issue is that insane heat is now unnecessary. So we can, like I said, we can generate the same amount of usable photon energy for plants by consuming 40-45% less cooling. So.
Wow, that's substantial. You kind of touched on that HID or high intensity just discharge lights, as well as fluorescent lights, can contain toxic substances like mercury, which makes them not suitable for recycling. So I'm assuming that LED lights are recyclable?
Yeah, the thing is, it's made up of a lot of electrical components, similar to if you think of circuit boards inside of maybe a computer or inside of a new TV. So a lot of those things are recyclable at the right locations, right? There is commercial recycling in most cities for that type of stuff. So the lights can be broken down, and then of course the aluminum and the circuit boards that contain the chips can be recycled.
Are LED lights the kind of thing that you can just put in your recycle bin, or you need to take them to a specific industrial recycle place or something like that?
It is a specialty item. It would be similar to if you were recycling your computer or something, like your PC had gone and it was time to recycle your old PC. It would be somewhere similar recycling. And it's something that is an interesting topic, because it's something that has been on my mind all the way along, and also proper bulb recycling. I feel like it would be nice if there was even some government help or a government initiative to make sure that these bulbs are disposed of properly, because I think a lot of people are being irresponsible with both the fluorescent and the HID tubes. I've personally witnessed people. We used to have a showroom in the downtown core of Kelowna, and I've personally witnessed business owners throwing their fluorescent tubes in the dumpster. And I've called some people out on it just because I know. And some people know and don't care, and some people don't know. So I think there's a lack of education around the effects of these inefficient and old technology lighting systems. And I'm hoping there's more, you know, awareness, like what you're doing. This is great to help spread awareness. And, you know, I love screaming from the rooftop every opportunity I get. So, I think there's more awareness. People will be, you know, more inclined to make the right decision.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people throwing fluorescent lights into the dumpster. I've even seen, you know, kids and teenagers think it's fun to break them, kind of not realizing how toxic they are. We got about 1 minute till the first break, but how much more economical are LED lighting systems compared to conventional old school lighting systems? What kind of cost savings can grow operations expect to enjoy after switching to LED lighting?
Yeah, that's another good question there. So typically what we're seeing is a reduction of anywhere from 30 up to 50%. So some people that are using old single-ended technology, we've even had some, I like to be kind of modest, but we've had some clients that we've saved them over 60% on their power bill because of their choice of lighting. So recently had one client who switched one of his rooms in his nursery, and he took out 9 of his 1000 watt and replaced them with 4 of our 860 watt. And they're kind of a light that's designed to be mounted up a little bit higher. And he's incredibly happy. We've reduced his power bill, you know, from 9,000 watts to just over 3. So he's really happy.
Wow. And that's, you know, spectacular for the environment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And never change a bulb again. So that's, you know, our speaking about the longer life, I was explaining how the diode works. You know, we're rated at 50,000 hours before any significant degradation of the light output. But that's on a 12-12 cycle. If a grower is using the light responsibly, there's no reason why it shouldn't last more than 10 years with reliable use.
Wow.
Rather than people having to change their bulbs once a year, typically, if you want to maintain
that. That's a big deal. Yeah. I'm talking to Sean Pernitsky. We're going to take a first break and come back with our second segment, so we still have a lot of cool things to talk about.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back on Hemp Present with Sean Pernitsky. Sean, do LED lights provide comparable quality lighting for the cultivation of food and cannabis? Is anything lost when converting to LEDs, or has the technology advanced to a point where LED lights are as potent and as effective as traditional or old school conventional lighting?
Great question. And this is a lot of our clients are kind of pondering as they try and maintain high operating costs. And my conclusion now is I would say that LEDs are superior. And in saying that, it really depends on the LED, but if a company is using the proper components, the high efficacy components and high efficiency driver paired with a proper array, then the lights work, and they work extremely well. We've got a number of people that were firm believers in high pressure sodium. Like, I've had some of my clients now, you know, thank me for saving their business because I convinced them to switch, and now they're believers. Some of them actually, you know, attend trade shows or like come and like want to be consultants and reps because they're just blown away by their results. So, you know, to answer your question, I would say superior. You know, we're able to produce a more sunlight full spectrum. We're, you know, producing a high enough efficacy light now where we're getting density. We're getting clients that say they have denser buds than they ever had under their HPS, and a higher quality product too. We're often getting more expressions, more terpenes. So you're getting a higher trichrome, production, which then in turn, you know, higher cannabinoid content, and yeah, really seeing, I would say, superior results.
Wow, that's impressive. Is Big Agro food production agro? Are they switching over and starting to use LED lights in commercial production?
Yeah, I think that shift is slowly starting to happen. My main focus has been cannabis, but I do have some experience in the food sector, mainly in microgreens. I started a business in the Kelowna, Okanagan area for microgreens. So I'm kind of in on the food sector a little bit, but we haven't tackled too much of the ag and greenhouses. But we do have a few new products that we're dropping this year that will be a well-rounded greenhouse light, full spectrum with a high CRI, and will do really well for all food crops. So we're going to kind of start targeting that market a bit more. And really, I think to tie back to your question there, with food crops, some of them will require small nuances and spectrum change, but a lot of them just, you know, require something that is similar to sunlight. And there was a misconception. A lot of companies were making what I call blurple, like the red and blue spectrum LEDs. And this, in my opinion, that was it's a big no bueno. There was, you're lacking a lot of things that are important for photosynthetic efficiency and also canopy penetration. So there's an array of things that green light helps with. And these companies that built lights without them, they're really not doing very well. And in my opinion, that's not the proper way to go, especially for ag crops. You get some that will, you know, stay way too stout, or some that will stretch excessively. You'll get node spacing that's undesirable. And then the shoots can't support the fruits, kind of thing.
Right. Blurple sounds like a cool strain name to me. I think somebody's going to have to use that. Your bio has the sentence that says that you share a mission of bringing together a culture of quality control, consistency, and the convergence of commercial and craft cannabis production, large on the outside and craft on the inside. What does that mean, large on the outside and craft on the inside?
Yeah, that really ties into, you know, the vision of trying to help these businesses scale, but maintain a high quality and a high efficiency process. So growing up in the Kootenays in the Spokane Valley, seeing all these inefficiencies, and then really as my education has evolved, it's like really learning that small batch and that high quality, and that's what the market is starting to demand. People are you know, starting to get woke to cannabis that has poor quality. There's a lot of these big producers, the LPs, that are putting stuff on the market that no one really wants to consume. It's dry, it's old, it doesn't have a lot of flavor, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think that the industry is starting to really become aware that craft is important. And I'm really trying to help producers get to the point where they can find success in this market that's getting much more competitive. So I think that's kind of what it attests to. And you know, the importance of staying, you know, small, but thinking big, kind of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What's LP? Is that licensed producers? And what's LP stand for?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. In Canada here, we've got the two classifications of license. So a micro license and an LP license. And a micro license, you're only limited to 2,156 square feet, I believe it is. And then the LP is unlimited. So an LP, once you reach licensed producer status, then you can produce as much as you like. So there's an interesting kind of division happening in the Canadian market, where a lot of now the LPs are failing because they were producing way too much of undesirable product. Mm-hmm. And the micros are really starting to make a name for themselves with these products that are in high demand. They're flying off the shelves. People are, you know, screaming about them over social media, and there's a lot of demand. And no one's doing that for the big guys. No one wants that stuff. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Sounds like you're starting to finally parallel wine production a little bit in that sense, that people want the quality brands over the commercial, you know, mass produced stuff, right? So Sean, I just want to say that before we stop, the benefits of LED lighting systems seems like a no brainer to me. I mean, it just seems like it's a simple an obvious decision. Why hasn't everybody switched over to LED, in your opinion?
I ask myself that question a lot. I think there's an array of issues there. You know, I feel somewhat fortunate that I got into the industry when the tech was evolving to a point where it actually worked. 10 years ago, there was a lot of companies that sold lights, LED lights, that didn't work. So they were just ripping people off, basically. So I feel very fortunate that when I started studying the tech, I don't feel like it was quite there when I started looking at it. But today, and in the last 2 years, I feel like it's gotten to a point where it is as efficient, but a lot of people have been burnt by old tech or poor quality lights. So there's still that happening. The market is flooded with lights that don't work, and then people's conception of lights that don't work. So my advice, if there's anybody that's not running LED, is do some research and find a company that you want to support and that has a high efficacy light, and then give it a try. And I really think a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people that didn't want to try that tried, and now they're really happy. So I encourage people to get over the stigmatism that they don't work, and give a good LED a try.
Some people just might be traditionalists, right? And they're just so mentally attached to what they've been doing that they thought worked, that they're not experimenting. Because I mean, it sounds like there's really no downside to LED lighting. Like it's the wave of the future. I mean, there should be laws preventing people from using the other lighting. I mean, just for the environment alone. I mean, is that outrageous of an idea?
I 100% agree with you. And if I had some more time, or if I had a couple clones, I would probably be, one of myself would be lobbying for some serious regulation with the government. I know that there was something that was put in place in the States to help regulate the use of these toxic bulbs, like all the HID bulbs, but then it was pulled back. I don't know exactly, but no, I think that that's a amazing point. And you know, that's why I really like working with Fortis. They offer rebates on all the lights, and they're really you know, wanting to help break that barrier to entry of the higher upfront cost. So we've got that rebate program within Canada here, which really helps. And then we also have financing set up. So if we've got producers that are profitable or close to profitable, then we can get them set up with financing. And one of the most exciting things about that is often those savings on a monthly basis can pay for the lease payment. So if we have a producer that his energy bills are $10,000 a month, and we get in there with a good lighting package and we drop his power bill by, you know, $4,000 a month, then all of a sudden that's a really nice payment every month for a lighting package.
I'm talking to Sean Pernitsky. We're going to go for another break and come back with our final question. So stick with us.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back for our final segment with Sean Pernitsky from EcoGrowTech. Sean, this is just fascinating. I love what you're doing. You know, our biosphere is a pet peeve on this show, is environmentally sustainable. You know, techniques of every kind, on every aspect of life. And of course, you know, cannabis cultivation is, you know, very close to our hearts. But while we still have a few minutes left, can you just tell us a little bit about your business and any final thoughts that you'd like to leave our listeners with about LED lights?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And first off, just want to say thanks again, Vivian, for having me and letting me share some of my thoughts and my experiences. And yeah, I'll give you a bit of a rundown. We're mainly focused, like I said, on cannabis, but really, you know, dabble in the food sector a little bit. So I'm starting to compile a lot of industry professionals as I build my network. And I've been asked to be part of an education platform to help break a lot of the stigmatism, and then also bring some accredited education offerings. So we're in talks with the University of Lethbridge and also UBCO to potentially offer some accredited programs. So we've got a facility in Taber, Alberta, near Lethbridge, that we've dedicated a 30-person classroom where we'll be doing on-site training and really immersing people into the space and giving them giving them education offering that's never been offered in Canada before. There's no universities that have this type of offering. So it's pretty cool. And then taking it on the bigger picture, we want to help break the education barrier in new markets. So as some of these new markets open up in the world, so rather than them going through all the learning curves that we've gone through over the last 30 years, let's just leapfrog them into using, you know, the latest techniques that are the most efficient. So the grow methodologies and the SOPs and the processes within their businesses are as most efficient as possible, and their equipment is as efficient as possible. Have them leapfrog those inefficiencies. So that's kind of the bigger picture there is, you know, Eco GrowTech really wants to help in the Canadian market, get people set up with efficiencies. And then the big vision is that we really be part of this education, building out an education offering to really change the way the world grows, basically.
Awesome. Very impressive, man. I really look forward to following your stuff. I mean, how can people check out Eco GrowTech?
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We do have a YouTube, haven't done much with it. I wear a lot of hats within the company and kind of bootstrap this. So not being heavily financed, it's, you got to put your time where you can and finances where you can. So we're on YouTube and we're Facebook, Instagram. And we also have a good website that we're continuing to add to. We'll be adding some of the consulting that we're doing and also some information around this education offer real soon. So
sweet.
Stay tuned for all that on the website.
Sean Pernitsky of Eco GrowTech, thanks for being on Hemp Present and sharing your knowledge.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Vivian.
You bet, my friend. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present and Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you got the right not to remain silent. The Hemp Present intro music is from 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand. The outro music is Take Back the Plant by Stickerbush. See you next week. Stay strong. Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.